Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Podfather. My name's Jordan and as always I'm joined by the delightful Alex.
Delightful, thank you. Are you good today, Jordan?
I'm so good. I just had such a nice meal. I didn't tell you about it before we started recording. It was like lamb shoulder with this lovely sauce and mashed potato and carrot and peas and corn on the cob and asparagus. Wow. It's just incredible. Beautiful. Shout out to Neville Taylor for cooking that for me.
You might have to invite me around later on in the year.
I think I definitely will. Yeah, absolutely. How are you, Alex? You didn't do much this week, did you?
No, I just went to Manchester and saw the Rolling Stones. So that's about all I did this week.
Yeah, no biggie.
It actually feels like it's been a while since we last spoke, which is always a good feeling because I don't like it when the weeks go by too quickly.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Because we spoke with Liam last week, so it felt a little differently. Well, you asked what film we're doing today. We're doing Ocean's 11, listeners, from 1960. Then next week, we're going to do Ocean's 11 from 2001. And then we're leading up to, now in cinemas, Ocean's 8, starring Sandy Bullock and Cate Blanchett and Anne Hathaway. And all, you know, you've so probably exciting. Seen the ads. We're following up last week's episode with another currently in cinemas feature. So look, we're more relevant than ever. And so
more relevant than ever.
We'd like to shout out to our two fans, Mark and Wade, who after last week have both gotten in touch. So we'd like to thank you both.
Thanks, guys.
You surely are the stalwart listeners of our podcast, and we are very grateful to you. You have some follow-up, Alex.
Well, actually, first things first, I just realized this is the 50th movie, Jordan, the 50th movie that we've done.
50th. Goodness
so
me.
Congratulations to us both over, a 2.5 years almost? That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
We've done a couple of extras episodes here and there with some other stuff.
And a few hiatuses.
Following up on being relevant, after we spoke about Solo, a Star Wars movie last week, a Star Wars story and a movie, I saw in the NME, the New Music Express, that Solo becomes the first Star Wars movie to officially flop. So that's a bit of sad news. The question I have for you is, does this really matter? Because I think there's a lot of scrutiny and pressure put on the Star Wars franchise, but Marvel movies don't always do so good. Isn't that right?
Well, that is true, Alex. I think it's a flop in Star Wars standards, but by all means,
isn't really
it's
a flop.
it did less than they wanted it to, but that doesn't mean that it didn't top the box office on its opening weekend. It certainly did. So I don't know. I think people are being a little unfair with this movie in terms of expectations, but it is interesting that it is the lowest grossing of all of the new Star Wars movies. And I'm pretty sure they've been on a more or less steady decline with each release.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think that they really should maybe just stick to December releases. Like I think it was a bit soon after Last Jedi and also Deadpool 2 and Avengers, you know, all in the same month. It was pretty hard competition.
It was a blockbuster month. And I mean, Disney's happy either way, right? Because they had Infinity War do so well. So for Solo to slightly underperform, you know, whatever, that's fine. And now they've recently, well, because they bought Fox, does that mean that they see any of the profits from Deadpool 2? Or is that already, you know, that was already on the slate and already coming out and already made? I don't know. I wonder what the deal entailed, because if they're seeing profits from, I'm just interested in how that will work for upcoming Fox projects that are yet to be released. Because when Lucasfilm was bought, sure, there were a few things in pre-production like Solo, but nothing really was being developed properly.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the deal at all because I've got no idea. But what I do know is that these deals in general are so complex and there's so many specifics and all this minutiae. Like I was talking to one of the projectionists at work, because, you know, one thing that everyone always talks about at the cinema is, you know, and people write it on the board, they're like, get the original Star Wars trilogy on film, you know, unedited theatrical releases. And everyone's like, yeah, that's never going to fucking happen. And part of the reason, apparently, and I mean, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard on the grapevine kind of thing, is that, you know, even though Disney own Lucasfilm and they own Star Wars, the original, you know, film prints of the theatrical cuts are still technically owned by Fox or whatever, or like, it's like, you know, they're not it, like, so not everything is always part of the deal, if that makes sense. And the deals are all
like, the deal might only separate. Be everything in the future as opposed to everything in the past.
Exactly. And of course this deal's getting worse all the time.
Yeah. Look,
did you get that reference?
No, I didn't.
It's a Star Wars reference. It's a Star Wars quote.
See, that's from Lando. One of the, yeah, that's right.
Normally, you're the one with the references that I don't get. Yeah. So go, Alex.
And that's poor form from me, because it's Star Wars. It's something that I should know. Mm. I'll tell you what, though. I go around to Trail's house, and her housemates and her are always quoting The Simpsons and Vines and all sorts of stuff, and it just all goes over my head. I just don't understand any of it.
I like a good Simpsons quote, but I don't know why you need to quote Vines. That's a bit 21st century for me.
Yeah, well, some of them are pretty funny. I've grown to like Vines, but I mean,
I guess we did the whole Damn Daniel thing, didn't we?
For a long time, yeah. Damn Daniel.
Still funny.
So, you had a few other things you wanted to talk about before we talk about Frank and the gang.
I had another little one of my thoughts that I wanted to bring up, and I just wanted to quickly mention, and this goes into that conversation, I've been watching Westworld. I'm about 4 episodes in now. So, I just wanted to recommend that to everyone. It's a really, really great show, HBO show. It's currently in its 2nd season, so I'm hopefully going to catch up around the time that second season finishes, which is fun. It's a really, really high quality, interesting show, well acted, well produced. There's a lot going on. I'm only 4 episodes in and I'm like totally obsessed with it. And it was sort of refreshing to watch, because I feel like, especially lately, most of the things that I watch are just kind of on Netflix, because that's just the streaming service that I have and use. Mm. And it was making me think a little bit about how TV has worked historically, which is that you used to kind of have like your free-to-air channels and then I guess your cable channels, like your HBO or your AMC or whatever. And I was thinking about how a couple of years ago I used to watch shows from HBO, AMC, FX, NBC, BBC, just to drop in a non-American thing, and how in the last year or two, I feel like I just watch Netflix stuff, and there's so much more Netflix original content coming. And I was wondering if you thought that was a bad thing for the consumer, because when Netflix started, before they were making their own content, they were, you know, presenting you shows from different channels and different production houses, and then you would choose what you wanted to watch, which was good, kind of like paying for a cable service where you got all the channels. But now they're a little bit more focused on making their own shows, and I'm wondering whether that's bad for us, because I think we should be having more choice and more opportunity to watch different shows from different places, because if it's all coming from the same thing, you know, it might not be as good quality or as good for us to experience everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it's interesting, like you're talking about Westworld. The reason I haven't watched that is because HBO is notoriously hard to get legally in Australia. And, you know, Ben rules, like for Game of Thrones, obviously everyone watches that in Australia illegally. But like, for instance, AMC, like a show like Breaking Bad, when that was coming out, I was still having to download that torrent-wise. But now with Better Call Saul, that comes out on Stan every week.
There you go.
And like something like RuPaul's Drag Race also comes out on Stan every week. And And like, I know Better Call Saul goes out on Netflix every week in the UK
when it's on. I haven't watched it yet though.
but so in terms of Netflix, that's where people turn because it's harder to get other content. So for Netflix to be making their own content, I think is a good idea, because if they've already got people, you know, subscribe to their service, why not create some content for them? However, it's like the Amazons or the stuff. Now there's so many people doing that. It's like, well, I'm not going to subscribe to all of these little things, so I'm going to miss out on potentially great shows because they're not on my streaming service. And that's a bit annoying. And now, you know, movies are coming out in a similar fashion, like something like Annihilation, which came out with Natalie Portman. And that they were wanting to get that a cinematic release, but it just didn't happen. But something like Cargo, which is a Netflix production, I don't know if you've heard anything about that, Alex, but it's an Australian film. It's got Martin Freeman in it. And it's like a really thoughtful zombie movie set in Australia. And it sort of deals with how that would play out in like central Australia, in the bushland. But I went and saw that at the Nova. They showed it at the Nova. And I don't know that it is on Australian Netflix yet, to be honest. So I thought that was pretty interesting, that some Netflix created content, I just went and saw at the movies without that knowledge at all. Cargo's not on Netflix here in Australia.
I think that's a really great thing, actually. And I think we're going to see them doing that a little bit more, because I there was a lot of people asking at the cinema if we were going to show Annihilation, actually. Mm. So I think there is a demand for those more cinematic Netflix productions to actually be in the cinema. And I know that they want to, I think they want to start being considered for the film festivals and stuff like that. So to be in those, you have to be in a cinema for a certain amount of time. Yeah. So that is a good positive side of it.
And definitely. Have you seen Annihilation?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
I haven't either. And I tell you what, it's staring me in the face, but I haven't seen it because it's on my computer. I would have leapt into a cinema to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also it's just like, I mean, I guess maybe I'm just having a little bit of a revolt against it, but it's like, I mean, I watched Wild Wild Country a couple of weeks ago, which was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, and that's a Netflix production. But a lot of the time when I'm on Netflix, and especially because it's kind of influxed lately, I don't want to watch all the stuff that is made by Netflix all the time. I just kind of feel like that's a bit, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, another Netflix production. Like, it's kind of like souring it for me in a funny way.
Yeah, I haven't really watched any of the Netflix shows, to be honest. Like, even though like Santa Clarita Diet is meant to be pretty good, that one with Drew Barrymore. And then there's so many comedy specials as well. And part of it's good. Like, it's great that people have a platform for their work, but you're right, it's kind of like a bit of an overload. And so I find myself just rewatching the same movies or TV shows. Like currently I'm on Stan. I have both Stan and Netflix basically just so that I don't get overwhelmed by, you know, content from one or the other. And also it's a better spread. I've been just rewatching Breaking Bad again.
Have you really?
Yeah, I'm like just two seasons through. I only started a couple of weeks. I mean, mainly it's because Better Call Saul is coming back in August and I need my fix into that world. But there's so much choice now right at my fingertips that I just find myself rewatching the same things, which is annoying. I'll tell you what, another example is a show like The Handmaid's Tale or also Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Both of those are on SBS Demand. So I'm pretty sure they air on the telly as well, but then you can watch them on SBS On Demand. So that's another way that we're getting to see these shows from over the pond in Australia.
You know, and historically, actually, Australia's always been quite lucky because, you know, we get to watch Australian-made stuff on Australian TV. Australian TV, like the ABC basically gets, you know, all the BBC stuff, so that's a win. Channel 10 and Channel 7 and Channel 9, I don't know how much they do it these days, but I remember they used to get American shows, you know, all the big ones would have come onto Australian TV a couple months later usually.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you had Foxtel, you got a lot of American stuff because the Foxtel channels, the Australian cable, really always just existed to just repurpose American stuff, to be honest. Like, we had some of our own shows and things on there. I guess you had, like, Channel V, and then I guess there was the sports things. But I can't really tell you any... I don't think there are any drama or comedy shows that were made from Fox 8 or something like that. Like, Fox 8 was always just there to show you other stuff. So Australia's always been lucky in that respect. But that was always a mixture of different sources. And I think the problem with Netflix is that that's their own, people's only streaming service, because no one wants to pay for more than one or three or whatever. So I think that if all you're seeing is Netflix stuff or the stuff that Netflix has, I think that becomes a bit of a problem. Or it's just, you know, limits you a little bit, which is sad.
Well, Disney's going to take all their stuff off Netflix because they're launching their own streaming platform as well, which is going to piss me off to no end, frankly. Because, I mean, in a way it'll be good because if I subscribe, I'll have all my Marvel content, probably all my Star Wars content, all of my Pixar content, you know, right at my fingertips, all the old classics. But they better all be on there all the time because otherwise what's the point?
What's the point?
I better be able to watch every season of Lizzie McGuire.
But part of me also just kind of thinks, well, maybe I'll just, for movies in particular, like, especially since, you know, I've been over here and we've been doing The Podfather and, like, I don't have a DVD player or anything. Like, I bought Ocean's 11, or I rented Ocean's 11 on iTunes, and I've remembered that iTunes has actually basically everything.
There's a lot of stuff, particularly older stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, well, sure, you have to buy it individually, but, you know, you rent something for a couple bucks, that's actually not too bad. And if you only watch...
Yeah, I do that a lot too.
Yeah. And I'm starting to think maybe that's also just a good solution sometimes. Instead of staring at Netflix for half an hour trying to find something to watch, just dip into iTunes, search what you actually feel like watching and just rent it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of like we were talking about this a few weeks ago, but it's kind of like Netflix is like you walk into Blockbuster and you spend hours trying to find something. You get home and it's already 10:30 and you go to bed.
Yeah. And like that's why I've enjoyed watching Westworld, because I don't have to open Netflix to watch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that also reminds me of something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I'm charged to do it again because I love HBO shows. We will, at some point, I'm going to say in the next year, let's give us a deadline of a year.
The Sopranos?
We're going to do The Sopranos in its entirety. Probably like maybe we'll do like three episodes per season. We might break it up into like three episode blocks or something like that and sort of work through it. But I'm getting anxious because I think the longer we leave it, the more I'm kind of like, will Jordan like it? I don't know anymore.
Still
think it's the best show ever, in my opinion.
I'd really like to watch it with you. Like, you know how we used to watch the movies together?
You want
to
do it? Ooh, that might be tough. That's going to require a lot of like...
But like, I want to start it with you.
Yeah, let's do
that. I didn't get into Game of Thrones until I watched it with Dipper with some beers. And then I was like hooked because we watched like four in a row. So if we do that with The Sopranos, then I can go off and watch it, you know?
I will purchase the Blu-ray box set. We'll do it legitimately. We'll do it really well, really nice quality. I'll purchase a Blu-ray box set and we'll sit down and we'll binge a couple episodes and then, yeah, we'll try it as often as possible to watch it together. I think that's a good idea.
It just makes it a bit more fun with a TV show, I think.
Yeah, it does.
I would have liked to have watched this movie with you, to be honest. The reason why I would have liked to have watched it with you, Alex, is because I was bored out of my mind. And I want to – I know I've been so negative recently. Oh, but I tell you what, watching this really makes me excited to watch the Clooney one, because so often it's like, let's watch an older movie because often they're better than the remakes, or just they've got a nice old feel to them. But this one was just shocking. I'm so glad they remade it and fixed the ocean's name, because this was – it was an excuse for the Rat Pack to just hang out. Very thin plot. The first hour of the movie, they don't even talk about the plan for the heist. Ugh.
So, especially lately, when you've hated a movie, I've enjoyed it. So, do you think I enjoyed this one?
To be honest, it started, I was like, Alex is going to love this. About an hour through, I was like, is Alex going to love this? So, to be honest, I don't know that you enjoyed it, because I don't think it holds up. I think it's a disappointing film.
It was really disappointing. Overall, it was really disappointing.
Thanks. Oh,
and
I'm so relieved.
This is a movie. I mean, I'm a really big fan of the Clooney version, the remake. I've loved that movie for years. I've watched it probably 3 times. So I've always wanted to watch this movie, and it was disappointing. The second hour was probably 3 times as good as the first hour. Like, the second hour was actually fun. So they probably could have shaved a good 45 minutes off the movie and then just kind of done, you know, something like that, an hour and 15 minutes of a movie.
Yeah, legit.
I want to start with something positive, though. I want to start with something positive and a bit of a misleading thing. I think the title sequence was just beautiful. I want to say that to start off with. It was really nice little
with animation.
Probably the best part of the movie was the title sequence.
Yeah, look. Oh, and he wears a fuzzy orange jumper at one point, which I thought was the best part of the movie too.
Okay, have a question for you then. Have you seen any Rat Pack movies?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
this
neither
is the first
I.
thing I've seen Frank Sinatra in, or any of them.
They've got quite a few movies, actually.
Yeah, I think he's got 64 film credits or something, acting-wise, on IMDb, from memory. I could
it's
be wrong,
bad.
Though. I might have just pulled that number out of nowhere.
This is the fifth Rat Pack movie, according to Wikipedia. Although this is, looks like it might be the first one to feature Sinatra, Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr. all together.
I think that's exactly right.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, there's 65 acting credits on his IMDb.
For old Frankie?
For Frankie, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I agree with what you said earlier. I think, yeah, it's you know, quite boring. It's disappointing. I mean, there are some good moments, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think talking about the first hour, there was a lot of getting the gang together, which is a fun part of the premise, but it just wasn't interesting. And I didn't really follow half of it because I watched the first half on the train, and I just didn't engage me. It didn't draw me in. Mm. And I just didn't care about any of their little backstories or storylines. The way that it was presented was just a bit too casual and a bit too, maybe of its time. Maybe this is a good example of a movie that just feels very dated.
Well, it felt to me at the start like an American version of like a Connery Bond film in terms of the feel of the thing, like the fashion and sort of the way it's staged, like very sound stagey and that kind of thing. And also, yeah, you've got men in suits, you've got women being props. And the pace is kind of slow, and it's all very conversational. Similarly, in the Bond films, I don't know how many of the Connery ones you've seen, but a lot of them are a bit boring at points because it's just them sitting around like, ah, yes, how are you, Mr. Bond? Oh, well,
I haven't seen many of the Connery Bond films, to be honest, but I appreciate the comparison. But I think the difference is that Sean Connery like has a charisma that draws you in, If that makes sense. And also the plots are a little bit more kind of, you know, interesting, whereas
absolutely
this lacks both of those things. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't think, I mean, you know, I don't have any other context for Rat Pack movies, but I thought it would be fun to watch them acting, but I was kind of like, okay, Frank, I guess you're certainly no Elvis movie, you know, certainly no Elvis movie.
Yeah. It just really feels, and because they were doing their Las Vegas shows at the time, they do them at night and then be filming this during the day. And it just kind of feels like they probably had more fun making it hanging out than the movie is. It just felt like an ad for the Rat Pack.
An ad for Vegas.
Because so often one of them would be, yeah, like, you know, popping out, like, singing a song. And then go for way too long. Like, ba-da-boop, ba-da-boop. Oh, man.
And it was kind of weird because those moments when they would sing a song, again, I think an Elvis movie is probably a pretty close thing to compare it to because they're, you know, they're both singers, or they're all singers who have been put